Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast!
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
And welcome in to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here at 102.5, 106.3, The Game. If you're watching on the stream right now, you are seeing something very interesting because this mic.
All I know is Caroline was able to, after the first segment, have it not move for the rest of the show. She found a way. I think that's the way to go. I tried this the other day, Chase. What we're dealing with here, if you're listening on the radio, is we have a loose mic. What do you call this? A crane or whatever holds the mic up in the air? It's got like too much WD-40.
We can call it a crane.
What do we call that? Is it a crane?
An arm.
An arm.
It's loose. It's like it needs.
It's like
surgery.
That because
you got to tighten up.
Yeah, and then I jimmy rigged it. You see that?
I see that. Yeah. That
was the only way we were going to get, we were going to have a successful show the other day.
I mean, the light on this thing doesn't work. I mean, I don't know.
We got issues.
The suit's going to have some meetings.
Hey, man, but you know what? Through it all, we make it work. It's kind of like, back in 97, we were, having meetings out of trailers.
Right.
And practicing behind a walk-in clinic, basically hospital. From the mall.
I went in those trailers.
Exactly. So hey, we gotta persevere.
Jeff Fisher gave me the grand tour.
It must not been much of a grand.
It wasn't grand.
It was a grand tour, yes. Yeah.
It took about 5 minutes.
This is the meeting room. Exit
trailer one. Trailer two. Defensive meeting room.
They all look the same.
The weight room was the most impressive because I'm like, I feel like one of these things is going to tip over if you drop the weight wrong.
It was bad. We would have to ride like our stationary bikes to warm up. We had to ride them in a hallway of the place we were in. It was just, it was... It wasn't good.
It was unbelievable. It was truly a trailer park.
Yeah, it was. It truly was. I mean, we were when the saying is, started at the bottom. Yeah, we started at the bottom.
Started at the bottom.
Oh,
I remember
we
the meals and the media got in on this, and I loved it. But there was no like kitchen or anything. Guy just fired up the grill.
Yeah, fired up the grill
outside. Man. And you had a little line. You go through. You get your chicken sandwich. Get a couple burgers. Whatever.
We started from the bottom. Yeah. Now we're here. Literally started from the bottom.
Yep.
Well, you've come a long way.
Yes, we have.
The Titans have come a long way. How about Jonathan Huberdeau getting a new deal with the Calgary Flames after that trade? Looks like 8 years, $10.5 million.
That is exactly what it is. That's a lot of cash, a lot of iron. I think you can make that work even in Canada. I think that can still be satisfactory up there. So I think that's what everybody was wondering off the bat is when they traded for him, they knew he had 1 year left on his deal. Would he commit long term? Well, $10.5 million is good enough for him. And I do think we're going to have to maybe put away, for the time being, the hooby dooby doo call from Steve Goldstein, the voice of the Florida Panthers, which he gets excited about it. Because up in Canada, they don't do a whole lot of that. It's like frowned upon, the fun, catchy sayings that you do sometimes. They don't roll up there like that.
No.
They kind of keep it straight. They play it straight. So
we'll have to put that away. Is it just because it's Canada?
Traditional? I think it's just tradition. It's tradition. I don't know too many guys that go that way. But so Huberto, it is Huberto. I checked this. This is one where the national guys get it wrong all the time. It's like Zach Parise. It's never been Zach Parise. All the local announcers, he tells them all, Zach Parise. But that doesn't keep every national guy from saying Parise. I guess it just sounds cooler. It's easier to say Huberto, and it looks like Huberto. Mm-hmm. But I remember asking repeatedly, it's Huberto? Like you, but that's what it is. It doesn't. It's not like WHO. It's HU, so it looks like Hugh, but it's Huberto. So we'll see if that changes, because this is another one that happened a lot in Canada. John Tavares. It's actually
tomato,
Tavares.
Tomato.
Yeah.
It's actually Tavares, but he relented when he got traded to Toronto, and he goes by Tavares. It's just really weird.
I mean, listen, I guess when you make a certain amount of money, you can change it into whatever you want to.
Yeah.
Before it was Terrell, now it's Terrell.
Well, that's another one that I'm still not 100% sure what it
is. No, it's Terrell. I don't know what it is.
GIF or GIF.
Yeah, I don't know. I know it's Willie.
More of a Peter Pan guy myself. Anyway.
Yes.
Roger Goodell has picked former New Jersey Attorney General Peter C. Harvey to hear the NFL's appeal of Deshaun Watson. So he's not going to handle it on his own, which was probably the right move, but the NFL deciding to appeal it. Now we have another judge that's going to come in here. And like, what do we do if this guy goes, I'm good with six?
He won't.
They picked a woman and they thought, okay, she's going to lay down a hammer.
No, well, they jointly picked her.
And then he's going to lay down a hammer. So Goodell said, no, I'm going to pick him this time. So hopefully he lays down a hammer.
But
he's going to come back and say 10 games.
Well, the difference is
you think 10?
I think he's going to come back and say 10 games. I don't think it's going to be an indefinite suspension.
That will be what we're watching for. But there is a difference, though. Mm-hmm. Remember, Robinson was an independent arbiter. Both sides agreed to her. This one is only appointed by Goodell.
So he's probably in Goodell's pocket.
Yes, because Goodell could have hurt it himself.
Absolutely. So I'm going to pick this guy because he's more on the line of what I'm thinking.
He's on the home team.
Yeah, so we're going to pick him, which is it's just like, again, I said this before, it's a big sham, man. That's all it is. So you didn't like what this judge said. A lot of people don't like what the judge, the suspension she recommended for him. So you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to get somebody from the home team. And he's more in the line of what I'm thinking. But, hey, it's somebody different. It's not me.
Yeah.
It's somebody over here, somebody I picked.
Something tells me the Players Association will make it very known.
Exactly. Like, you picked them.
Yeah. Well, this is Goodell's guy.
Exactly.
This is not our guy.
And here's the other thing. Okay, so, you have this process. The PA is going to sue the NFL. There's going to be some sort of injunction that's put in, so he won't be suspended. And he'll start the season. And then what happens if he plays the first two games of the season and they come out and say, no, he's going to be suspended the whole season. So does that mean he has to miss the first two games of next season?
He could make it messy like that. He definitely has the right to sue the league. The league, however, will sue right back. Mm-hmm. And they'll go into a court and they'll have another judge. And the league will argue, look, this is in the collective bargaining agreement. We're just following what the Players Association agreed to. And the league will win. So the question is, How much money? I guess Deshaun Watson has a lot of money, but he has paid out I don't know how much in legal fees to this point. Is it worth it? I mean, is it worth it to try to fight that battle?
If it's just a year suspension, no, but I think when he added on that indefinite, then you gotta fight it because he can, in theory, hold on to it for the next 5 or 6 years and then say, oh, Now you can come back in after 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what they're more so fighting is the indefinite. Now, the year suspension, okay, maybe he doesn't want that, but at least he knows after that year, I can come back. With an indefinite suspension, it's like you, I mean, even after the year, if Goodell feels, if the pressure's still high from the public, he's not going to let you back in. And to me, again, it's just, it's spineless. It truly is spineless by him. It's just, dude.
By Goodell?
Yeah. It's just, dude, you make the ruling. Because essentially that's what you're doing by getting the judge that you wanted. Because the judge y'all both appointed, you didn't like her, you know, her a suggestion. So you pick somebody on the home team. You might as well have just said, hey, listen, it's a year.
I agree with you on everything you said yesterday and today on the policies and the hypocrisy of it. That it's different standard for owners than it is for players. All of that stuff is true. But I still like the fact that Deshaun Watson is going to be given a bigger penalty because six games is just not enough.
What if they come back and say 10? And then what?
Look, I want to be able to watch. I feel okay about someone. Someday Deshaun Watson is going to play again. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to play again for a long time. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to watch and say, okay, he did something really wrong. Mm-hmm. He paid a price for it. He paid the right price for it. And now I can watch him again. I just think right now, six games, that would be, if I were a Browns fan, I'd still feel creepy about it. I'd be like, he shouldn't be allowed to play. Not yet. I would like to see him take ownership, take responsibility for what he did.
Whatever he did, he can't. From a legal standpoint, he can't. He can't say anything.
I think you're probably right about that, but I think it would. I think it would help. Plus, he lied to the judge in the hearing. It's pretty clear.
Well,
He hasn't admitted any wrongdoing at all. It's very clear that that's not the case.
He had to stick to his story.
His story is,
you know, whatever his story was, he had to stick to it. And this is what's going to be interesting about this one, because there was only so much that the first judge was able to see. A lot of the women she wasn't able to talk to because they all settled. And she only heard or read the four accounts.
Yeah.
So is he going to see the same thing?
Yes, he
has
to.
And then base it upon what the NFL has already. Because that's what she did. She just said, listen, I think the guy's guilty. But
yes.
I'm just going by
very blatantly.
I'm just going by what y'all been doing.
Right.
You know, this is Abbott and Costello type of
thing
y'all got going on.
She based her penalty based on the goofy policy that the league had. But as far as what happened and what she thinks happened.
Yeah, she thinks
she thinks that the league was 100% right in everything. Mm-hmm. They proved everything they wanted. But to answer your question, yes, this judge from New Jersey, the former attorney general, I guess it's a judge, arbitrate. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you call him. He can only go by her decision. Mm-hmm. He can go back through her findings. Mm-hmm. They can't bring in four other women or something like that or anything from the outside. He can only go based on what was heard in this hearing.
And that's what I'm saying. If he's going on based on what she saw, she read, he's going to see and read the same thing. I don't see how he can give him no more than like 10 games.
Because he works for the league.
Yes, Goodell's there you guy. Go. Handpicked.
All right, coming up next here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, we're going to talk to Lawrence Gowan. He's the co-front man of the band Styx. And Styx is coming to town here in a few weeks. So he is going to join us. A little change of pace here on a Friday coming up next. But first, Willie, tell us about Loan Pronto.
All right, let's talk Loan Pronto. They have the ability in the next few weeks, you could get this process going today. If you're looking for, let's say, look, you got the school year coming up, the fall, you get back into that routine. If you've got kids or, you know, you got the big fall football season going. If you got financial projects you're looking at or financial issues, or maybe you got vacation coming up and you're looking to move some things around. Loan Pronto's formula right now is, look, they've got great rates. They've got great rates, so if you are a homeowner, you're sitting on a pile of cash. So if you're in need of some cash to do some things, maybe it's to reinvest in your home in the month of August or September and put in that outdoor patio, upgrade your home with a home renovation project, Loan Pronto can do any of that stuff for you. Or maybe you just need some money to pay some bills. Loan Pronto can help you with that. They're rescuing a lot of home buyers and homeowners now with great mortgage rates. 30-year fixed APRs in the fours, 15-year APRs that start with a three. So it's all digital, it's fast, virtually zero paperwork, no hassle. Call Loan Pronto right now, and you can even skip your next two house payments. 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780 or loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Back here, 1025, 1063, The Game, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here with you. We say hello now to Lawrence Gowan of Styx. Styx going to be in town coming up Monday night playing with REO Speedwagon at Ascend Amphitheater. Lawrence, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. We're playing with REO Speedwagon and extra special guest Loverboy will be on the show.
Oh, yes. Wow. Willie, this is up our alley.
Oh, yeah.
This is cutting edge for us because
hey,
we're all
well,
about this.
I appreciate, Chase, that you like this music because you're a lot younger than me, but this is what I grew up with, these bands right here. This was, you know, Casey Kasem. Top 40 countdown, American Top 40. You heard all those bands every weekend. That was really good stuff.
Yeah, I saw you guys play probably 5-6 years ago at Bridgestone Arena. It was a fantastic show.
Thank you, Chase. You know, what you guys are saying is that's what I've witnessed from the stage, particularly over the last, I'd say, 15 years, that the audience, funny enough, the audience is skewing younger, not older. So you can figure that one out in your your graphics, however you like, but the that is the interesting thing is that, you know, classic rock is being discovered more and more by younger people who now see it as concurrent with their own time in the planet, and they see themselves in the songs and the little narratives, and the melodies are stuck in their heads as those who grew up with it.
So why do you think, though, you know, expand upon that a little bit, why you think that is, that your music and a lot of bands from your era, it goes from generation to generation? Because, I mean, like you said, that's what I grew up on. My parents obviously listened to a lot of this music, and so that certainly helped it. But I still do. Like, it's what I prefer is classic rock, as you said. So why do you think it's able to have that sustainability?
Well, obviously you have very good taste, but apart from that, the musicologist, I'll put that hat on for a second. I think the first half of the 20th century was basically defined by jazz and American music, let's call that. But the second half is that it's indisputable that rock music and classic rock, you know, being at the pinnacle of when it was at its most successful, it was the great musical statement of the last half of that century, and it's just spilled over. Just as we still have jazz fans and we have, you know, classical music fans and all that sort of thing, I think it's spilled over, and it shouldn't have been such a great surprise to us, but we always saw it as being, you know, a temporary music. You know, it fell under the category of being pop, so it was, you know, it was disposable, et cetera, that we thought at the time. But as it turns out, the melodies and the lyrics to those songs have just made it through. The last show I went to before the pandemic, but was Elton John, and behind me was a whole row of people who definitely were under 20 years of age, and they knew the words to every single song. And I'm thinking, I know, in 1973, I think it was, I saw the Goodbye Yellow Brick Road tour. Here I am, nearly half a century later, seeing Farewell Yellow Brick Road, and there are people behind me who I was probably sitting with their grandparents, you know, when I was 14 or 15, and they are as into the music as I am. They're jumping up and down I just thought, well, this is a phenomenal testament to that, to the power, lasting power of this music.
We're talking to Lawrence Gowan. He is with the group Styx, and they are going to be performing on Monday at Ascend Amphitheater. And, Lawrence, it's been fun to watch Tommy Shaw and his ties to Nashville now, and I'll give you one in particular. Yeah. You being from Canada, I think you could probably appreciate this. The Stanley Cup Finals were in Nashville in 2017, and they had the in-between period entertainment, and Tommy Shaw jumped up on the band stage and started playing. It was just fantastic. It was already electric for the game, but, I mean, it just kept the energy sustained throughout the whole intermission. It was fantastic.
Well, thank you for pointing that out. There have been very few occasions where there have been a few occasions where I've been a little bit jealous of Tommy, but I was absolutely green sitting in Toronto, because, you know, in Canada, it's mandatory that we watch every Stanley Cup playoff game by government. And, you know, I was watching that game, and, of course, I got video of it, et cetera, and I was just like, oh, my God, this guy gets to do this at a Stanley Cup playoff game. The only playoff game I ever got to, because tickets in Canada are basically, you'd have to take a mortgage out to get a ticket to a Stanley Cup game. I'm just thinking, well, he got to go to this game, play it as a gig, and see it for free. And the only time I ever went to a game, I think I paid something like close to $1,000 for a scalper ticket. and believe me, I didn't get to play or anything like that. There were no accolades that went along with it. So, that was a great thing. And I thought Nashville did really tremendously well they did great to get to the Stanley Cup final. I mean, the physical feat of that is just astounding. Anyway,
yeah, we're hoping not quite. Yeah, we're hoping to recreate that someday. So if that happens, I think, Lawrence, I think we need to get you down here with Tommy. We'll make that happen. We'll find a way to get you ticket, and you will not have to pay $1,000. I promise you.
Please don't.
You will not
do
that.
Don't put me through that again.
Okay.
That would be cruel. Yeah.
Well, tell us this, because this is always something that we always laugh about when we're go to shows and things like that. But how you come together, because I know you've got new material with Styx, but how you balance working that in to your audience, but also playing the classics that we all love?
That is a great question. You know, you're never going to go to a Styx show where you don't hear, you know, Blue Collar Man and Come Sail Away and Renegade and, you know, Too Much Time in My Hands and Grand Illusion. Those songs are in every single show, no matter what time of year it is. But we discovered a way, actually in Nashville, we were recording it back in 2015-16, we were recording in Blackbird there, and we wanted to make a record that resonated as strongly as possible with that classic rock era, with the sound of the 70s. Luckily, they had all the analog gear, and we put our cell phones down, and we decided, okay, let's pretend it's 1979 and make an album that way. To quickly get to how do you wedge a song into the set, well, the Mission and our latest album, Crash of the Crown, they sound so authentically from that era that we're able to kind of weave them in a very kind of deft way where they one kind of transitions into the other. So, for example, we would take in the show right now, we have the opening track of Crash of the Crown, Fight of Our Lives. That immediately segues straight into Blue Collar Man, and you're into that before you even know it. So we do see, even on the faces of the fans, as if they know this record or they've heard it. Is this from one of the albums that was, you know, one of their more obscure first five albums, let's say, before Grand Illusion and Crystal Ball and Pieces of Eight, before those records came out? They kind of sound like that. Also, we're really careful, quite honestly, because we wait until the records had some success before we introduce any new stuff. So, you know, Crash of the Crown, when we started touring again just last year, it entered Billboard's rock album chart at number one. So that gave us a little more confidence that, okay, we can start slipping in little bits of this. And all you need is just a few factions of the audience to suddenly jump up and go, oh, this is new, you know, or I have this record, you know. And suddenly it catches on with others. So we're kind of clever and sneaky in that way at the same time.
He is Lawrence Gowan of Styx. They will be at Ascend Amphitheater coming up Monday night. REO Speedwagon and special guest Loverboy. You want to get your tickets right now, just go to...
Another Canadian band there, the Loverboy. That'll be pretty good, right?
Yes, just go to AscendAmphitheater.com for tickets.
Yeah, yes, we're right at the quota of Canadians that you're allowed to.
Hey, we're good with it. Don't worry about that. Lawrence, thanks so much for joining us today. It's good to talk to you, and have some fun Monday night.
Thank you so much, guys. Nice to talk to you, and we're looking forward to it. We love playing at the Ascend, and it's going to be a great night.
Awesome. Thanks, Lawrence. Lawrence Gowan of Styx joining us here on the show. And look, Ascend is a great venue.
It's a great place to see a show. Oh, it's awesome. Especially, you know, summer night, lights out, right smack in the middle of downtown. It's a great scene.
I am pretty sure I'm going to be there Monday night.
Yeah?
Yeah. Ooh. I love Styx.
Okay.
So, and I've never seen REO Speedwagon or Loverboy, so I think I'm feeling it.
Oh, yeah. I think people there are going to have a great time.
A little 80s night.
Yes.
Could be fun.
Well, it's 70s and
80s. 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember that with Tommy Shaw. on the band stage.
Yeah. Oh, man,
and
that was big time.
He's performed a couple times since then.
He has, and he's performed at Brent Peterson's event before. I've seen him at several different charity events. He just pops up there, starts doing his thing. It's awesome.
Well, what was funny is there was one time right before the pandemic, probably, I'm sitting in Barrel House, and you know the band, you know, band starts playing and everything, and I and they're playing Renegade, and I look at Darren and I go, that sounds like Tommy Shaw, and he goes, it is Tommy Shaw. That's why.
Yep.
So, yeah, that definitely happens for sure. But appreciate Lawrence for joining us. Check that show out coming up Monday night. Coming up next, we will get back into some of the Deshaun Watson stuff because I had another thought before Lawrence joined us, so we'll do that coming up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. There we go, a little Styx bringing us back. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. You know, sometimes the off-the-air conversations really are...
But you cut it off quick.
We were just getting to the good stuff. We were just getting to the good stuff. We got to get back.
Sorry, got to go.
Yeah. Come sail away.
Got to get back. Yeah, this will be a good show coming up. Randy on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, think about how many genres of music came out of the 70s. Rock and roll, southern rock, the solo acts, all the one-hit wonders, disco, R&B, and you could hear all of them on one station. It was crazy.
Yep. It was very different back then. It was very different.
Well, DJ, I mean, you didn't have playlists. DJs just kind of played whatever you requested or whatever they wanted to play.
Well, the other thing about
I mean,
it
they
is
had their playlist, but then they kind of leaned on.
But they had their playlist. Exactly. Like, it's kind of like, all right, Chase is coming up from 10 to midnight, and I would do my thing, and then Willie would be on, you know, 12 to 2. And
he'd do his thing.
Late night action.
You'd I would come. I'm a slow jam. No, I would do late at night because it'd be slow
jams. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like, yeah. Slow jams, yeah.
Hey, this is Derek Mason. Here's some Barry White for you. My darling. Yeah, I can see that. You'd be all about the slow jams.
Yeah.
Oh, nothing man. Wrong with that. I would have liked that show. You know, the thing was, though, we all, for the most part, we heard the same songs collectively a lot more so than today, where you can really branch out on your own. You can, you know, you don't have to listen to the same thing everybody else. There's so many options and outlets for different music. But back then, it really was. I mentioned the American Top 40. That was just so, and they still play it now. If you can find like old playlists of the 40 biggest songs from this weekend in 1975 or whatever. But I remember just wanting to know what was number one this week. What moved up? These are all the songs we heard all week, and just you heard them on the weekend. It was just a different time.
Sirius XM, you know, some of the music channels, they'll play, like, and you'll hear.
Oh,
like,
I've doing heard that
Casey,
on the weekend.
I've heard Casey Kasem. I'm like, had he been dead for like 10 years?
He has.
Casey Kasem, they still play him.
They play it right through. And without the commercials, which is makes it a lot easier. But you just jump in your car, you hear, you know, songs 23 through 20 this week in 1970, pick a year.
Casey Kasem was the voice of, anyone know?
Robin.
Yes.
And Shaggy.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, he did a lot of voices. Saturday morning cartoons. Yeah. He was a
Shaggy's the one I remember.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
For sure. Anyway, we're off the rails, so my bad. But Deshaun Watson, this whole thing. So what do you do, Derek, now if you're Kevin Stefanski, the head coach? Are you preparing Jacoby Brissett to be your starter? Or are you reading the tea leaves and thinking, all right, I'm probably going to have Watson week one. So are they splitting reps, or how are you going to handle that?
I think they're splitting reps. You still have to, because you're sort of in this, you know, unknown territory right now. But you still have to prepare your team for the first game of the season. And the way it's looking now, Deshaun Watson will be available for you first game of the season. So you have to prepare. The good part about it is that Jacoby Brissett's he's a veteran. He's a pro. I'm sure, you know, he would not, you know, he's one of those guys that probably, hey, I don't need a whole lot. You know, just get me some reps with the young, with the first team. I don't need, if it's 15 reps, I don't need 10 of them to get myself going. Give me six of them, five, six of them, and I'm good. You know, because I think a lot of his will be in the classroom, just learning, continuing to learn offense. But they have to prepare as if Watson's going to be the quarterback, because this is not a – I don't think this thing is going to end. I would be surprised. Let's say that. I would be surprised if this thing ended before the season started. Like, we came down with a verdict. He's gone for the season or 10 games or whatever before the season start. It may go into the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season before they come up with any decision.
Have they had have they posted when this next chapter is going to happen, when he's going to hear the case? It did take a while in the summer. Remember, they had all of the testimony in front of Sue Robinson. I forget what the date was, but it was just the, you know, took until last week. It was, you know, June or something, I think, when they started hearing that. And it took all the way up until last week before they posted the findings. So it could take a while. I don't know. But if I'm the Browns, I kind of want to know the timetable, because, as you said, then only after the decision's made will they decide, do they want to take it another step and sue the league.
There is no timeline for Harvey.
No timeline.
Yeah.
So
it's just like it's just like up in the air.
Yeah.
You know, this judge can go in and it takes him, because it might take him 3 or 4 weeks to kind of read through the whole thing and kind of figure out, you know, what his punishment could possibly be. And then once he gives his punishment, doesn't the PA has an opportunity to appeal it?
Yeah.
So then,
well,
now
they would sue the league.
Exactly. So now you're pushing it even further. You're just kicking a can down the street even further.
And so this is all part of the price that the Browns paid by entering into this game with Deshaun Watson. So I don't feel sorry for them, but they are going to have to be thinking about all those details. I also am curious about the other teams in that division. Right. This affects the Ravens. It affects the Steelers, the Bengals. Like, because they're trying to think, what does this do to the division race?
Mm-hmm. Well, and think about this. So I pulled the Browns schedule up. You know, the NFL doesn't love drama at all. You know who their week one opponent is?
It has to be a divisional game.
No. At Carolina.
Baker Mayfield. Yeah. That was a big when the day that trade went down, that was quickly pointed out that, guess who? Now, Baker Mayfield's got to win that job because he's new to the system. You figure he should win that job.
I think he's going to win that job.
Darnold, he does, but he has been in the system. But Baker Mayfield is coming off of labrum, you know, shoulder surgery, so he's not maybe at his best. At least it's worth watching to see how quickly he's thrown into. Mm-hmm. Eventually he's going to start. They wouldn't have traded for him if they didn't want him to be the starter, but I wonder how quick he will feel comfortable and ready to play.
Well, I mean,
because the drama, they got to start him against Cleveland, right?
If Deshaun's not the quarterback, and I think they still would be probably picked to win even with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback that first game, because Jacoby Brissett is one of the better backup quarterbacks in the National Football League.
Steady.
I mean, he might end up, I don't know them all, but he might be the best backup quarterback in the NFL at this point. So I think Cleveland feels comfortable if they indeed had to, say if they expedited everything and, you know, okay, this is what it is, and he's gone for the season or 10 games, whatever. League appeal it, that goes through very quickly. And, you know, by the first game by the second game, we know he's done. I think Cleveland feels comfortable with what they've done on defense, the boast of that defense, and what they've done on offense to get more playmakers, that it doesn't all have to be on Jacoby Brissett. Now, will they win the division? I don't know.
But
it still puts him in a good position.
In the first six games, like, let's say he is suspended six games, they're at Carolina. I would probably lean Carolina if it's Baker, just because of the revenge factor and everything. New York Jets in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. They could beat the Jets. Pittsburgh at home. I have no idea with Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
because
just don't know.
Is it Mitch Trubisky or is it Kyle Rudolph? I mean, it sounds like Kenny Pickett's going to ride the pine, you know, at least for a little while.
Yeah.
So then they're at the Falcons.
If Trubisky can't win that job, That says a lot about
him. They signed
him
to win that job.
Yes.
At the Falcons. They're not very good. And then you got the Chargers and the Patriots back-to-back.
That's when it
starts. That's where their test really starts.
I thought about this, too. If you've got to know if you're the Browns. He is going to be – he's not going to get no games, Deshaun Watson. So is it better just to start the year with serving some time?
Nope.
Because what I think it is. Because I'd rather have him at the end of the season.
No, you're going to make the same mistake that the Nets made in basketball. They took Kyrie Irving. They said, well, since you can't play at home, we're not going to play you on the road. They should have played him on the road. They'll end up with a better record and they end up not having to have a plan to make the playoffs. I think Cleveland's in the same position. If the league has not suspended them, because the league is not going to say, well, you did help hold them out six games, so we're going to count that for. They're not going to do that. They're going to say,
that's your choice. No,
they're going to say, that's
so.
Your choice that you held him out. We didn't suspend him. It wasn't, it wasn't concrete yet. So if I'm Cleveland, I'm playing him.
But the problem is, what if he's suspended for the last six games, and you're in the playoff hunt, and then all of a sudden you lose him?
It don't matter, because he's going to be suspended anyway.
Well, that's why I think go ahead and start serving.
This ain't
serving your suspension.
No, this ain't.
I don't think time served really works.
So we're gonna, we're gonna start it from right where
It's going to be
you
six.
Set out.
You know it's going to be at least six in best case scenario, and it's going to probably be more. So why not just serve?
You know what? Probably,
but league ain't gonna do. They're not gonna do that, Willie. They're just not.
What probably ends up happening is he plays this year and then he's suspended next year.
Possibly, yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked by that at all, just because of how slow this stuff is. Mm-hmm. But we will
see. Never thought about that. The whole year, I could imagine that.
I could see it. Mm-hmm. Coming up next, I have to step away for suit duty. So I will the suit's a busy man. But I will let you two take it away and continue to discuss things from Titans training camp. Plus, Kyle Phillips, Titans rookie wide receiver, going to join us when practice is done today around 11:15 or so. So he will call in. Be good to catch up with him here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
A lot of it is similar because I was fortunate. I was able to spend time with him on multiple occasions prior to the draft. And so the human being, the guy, is something that is really unique in the sense of his humility, his caring about his teammates, how he loves his teammates, how he loves life, and his approach. I knew, I had a feeling he would be able to grasp a lot of information and be able to retain that, but it's been even better. And now it's just really tying it all together. You know, we really have to tie the lower half of our body to what our mind's telling us to do, and being able to redirect our eyes with our feet, which we work on daily out here with different drills. And it's just a repetition-based theme that, is a 1% better theme. And there's no rush on it. We're just working on it. And his patience, as he's learning to be more patient with the process of it, he's just going to probably, daily improvement will be there.
That's Pat O'Hara, the quarterback's coach for the Titans, talking about Malik Willis. And I think there's some really good things in there, Derek, about the process that you go through when you're trying to develop a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think what I like when I hear that stuff is they've got time. They know they've got time. You see so many quarterbacks that are rushed, especially when they're – and we just played rushed. That was Tom Sawyer. I didn't mean to, no pun intended. But, when you're drafted in the first round, the very first day of training camp, everybody is going to say what? Hey, when is so-and-so ready? Is he ready? Our first-round pick, is he ready? Is he going to be starting week one? Is he the week one starter? Yeah, and you can't help that. It didn't used to be that way, but it is now. Mm-hmm. Malik Willis easily could have been drafted in the first round. People thought he might go as high as, top 10 picks. He didn't. So now he's a third-round pick. To me, based on the offense he ran in college, the level he played in college, and how much adjusting he's got to do, that might end up being the best thing for him, because now there is not the narrative of how soon will this guy be ready to play. Mm-hmm. You can tell Pat O'Hara talking about, let's just get 1% better every day. Let's work on our footwork. Let's work on working the lower half of your body, connect it with the upper half of your body. We were talking about Chigakonkwo yesterday, and we were talking about processing the plays to where once the play is called, you don't even want to have to think about it. Your body knows exactly what to do on the play.
Exactly.
You're not processing information. What's the play? What route am I running here? What defense? The quarterback's got three times the amount of information he's got to process. Plus, he's working on all of the footwork, working under center. There's so many things that he has got to adjust to. Mm-hmm. And I just like that there's no timetable right now. I think that's going to help him, and it helps Pat O'Hara, I think, just work on the little things every day.
Well, when coaches, this is what I've understood and sort of learned. When coaches start, when they start the conversation off with other things beside football, you know, like Pat O'Hara did, that means that, you know, he's trying to deflect from, you know, the quarterback, the actual quarterback play. And then, you know, the lower half needs to catch up with the mind and the 1% better. This kid is no way near ready to start nor to be the backup. He hasn't shown enough, and rightfully, I mean, he's a rookie. He hadn't shown enough that they feel comfortable at putting him in if something happens to Ryan Tannehill. If they had to make a decision today and Ryan wasn't the quarterback, they would bring another veteran in, possibly to start, because they don't want Woodside to start either, I don't think.
That would be – I don't even know who's on the street right now ready to take that phone call.
They would probably have to make a trade for a backup quarterback. This kid is – he's this young man. Well, heck, he's young enough to be my son. That's saying something. But he's just not ready yet. And, you know, a part of it is the college that he went to. They just didn't prepare him to be ready for the NFL. They prepared him to win football games for Liberty. That's it. They didn't prepare him for – they didn't prepare him to be a NFL-ready quarterback. Now, because of his ability, you know, to play the game, like, you know, some of the things he can do, the potential, that got him drafted in the first round, meaning in the third round. But some said he had first-round talent.
Yes.
But the Titans know this kid is not ready at all. And the more you ask about him, I think the more they're going to try to get away from what's actually happening on the field. And it's smart of them.
Yes.
You know, because.
And it's the best thing for Malik Willis.
Absolutely. Like, listen, we're going to bring up that the young man, you know, he's in here early. He leaves late. He's a great teammate, you know. He can be a potential leader. He loves his teammates. He's welcoming. He's doing the things that he needs to do as a pro to help him on the field. But they're not going to actually talk about really what he's doing on the field, because of what he's doing on the field, it hasn't advanced far enough, because they hadn't been in camp long enough. But it hasn't advanced far enough for me to come here. I talked about him on Monday. You want me to talk about him on Wednesday, and then again on Thursday, well, Friday morning. There's nothing really I can tell you, because he has not gotten better. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying he has not gotten better to a point where I can sit here and say, this is what he's doing. And wow, from Monday to Friday, it is a drastic change.
And that's what I don't know what everybody's expectation level was. I know what mine was. I wasn't expecting to hear him being the talk of camp. Hey, he's picked this
but
up.
But some people thought that would be the case.
It's easy to fall into that trap, yeah. I think, sometimes, because we did hear a lot more about him before the draft. But whether he was drafted in the first or the third round would not have changed anything in terms of his readiness. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's probably a good thing that he's a third round pick. They had the luxury of bringing him along really slow, and I think he's going to end up in the long run better because of it. because he won't be able to skip any steps. They won't rush him into the fray. I think they have the right mindset with him. And I like what I'm hearing about his makeup.
Uh-huh.
The word that jumped out to me was humility.
Exactly.
Like, I think some people, and it could be a good thing, you come in and you're cocky, you just believe you should be ready even though you're not. Mm-hmm. But I like the fact that it doesn't mean he's not confident at all, but the humility of coming in saying, okay, I know I've got to learn this stuff, and I'm going to work every day mm-hmm. to learn every detail that I've got to learn. I'm going to get 1% better every day. I think he's on a good path.
Well, I mean, I saw
him. He's just not there right now.
He's not there now. And watching him in 2 minutes yesterday showed me that he is not there. He is nowhere near ready to play. And this is why it's become such a big thing. Because of the way Ryan Tannehill played during the season and then more importantly in the playoffs. Had Ryan Tannehill played really good in the season and it wasn't his reason why the Titans lost in the playoff, this wouldn't be a big issue. Like drafting Malik in the third round wouldn't be a big issue, you know, because there would be nothing there. They would be saying, hey, listen, Ryan only got 2 years left on his contract. So they're trying to look forward to the future by drafting this young guy. He won't be ready this year. He won't be ready next year, but he's a guy that they're going to groom and hope he could become the starter. Well, because of Ryan's play, it almost accelerated your thought process on Willis. Not theirs, but everybody else's. They knew when they drafted him, this is what the course of action is going to be. Well, the fans and everyone else, because of what they saw last of Ryan Tannehill, they quickly said, this is the guy. And they sort of expedited the expectations of him, which was wrong.
Yeah, and that's why I think the team is doing the right thing,
exactly.
too, and how they are handling those questions, which is kind of where we started. Like, you paid mm-hmm. that Pat O'Hara. He knows, along with Mike Vrabel, with Todd Downing, this is the way we need to talk about this. Because everybody's going to see, he's running some drills right now. He's mm-hmm. going to struggle some. That's okay. The question is, how quickly can he learn from this and keep getting better? If he shows signs of improvement, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And when the season starts, hopefully you know, he won't be in the spotlight as much. Hopefully he can continue to get better behind the scenes because it won't be out in front of everybody. So this will be an interesting few weeks, of course, for Malik Willis. When we come back, we'll have more. We'll get the suit back with us. Stay tuned. You're listening to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game.